Chapter 24, 30th of September. Mount Nebel Marco Reactor. From the helicopter, the ferocious orange flames engulfing Nibelheim lit up the mountainous landscape for miles. A smoke plume, more vast than the pollution over Midgar, was being swept to sea by the southwesterly winds, like a great, ominous shadow creeping across the night sky. It was a hell fire indeed, as though Ifrit himself had laid waste to the village. An impressive sight of untamed destruction, Hojo could not deny, but not his concern.
Sephiroth, you've surely done it this time.
We're almost at the facility, Professor.
Tsung's voice crackled through the headset. Raising his arm, the senior Turk flicked a switch on the panel above the co-pilot seat. Beside him, his bald associate said nothing, calm and focused as he grappled with the control stick, steadying the craft against the pockets of turbulence. We'll be touching down in 90 seconds. Hojo grunted in acknowledgement, casting his gaze back out over the twisting peaks of Mount Nebel. A strange feeling, if feeling was the right word for it, had settled on him, yet it was difficult to pinpoint its exact nature. Perhaps the least inaccurate term was loss, though it was more akin to anger. There had been no developments in the last hour, so Hojo had a fairly detailed understanding of what they would find on arrival. Reports of Sephiroth's transgressions had reached them while en route from the company's Cosmo airbase, with regular updates coming from Tsung's staff on the ground. His precious specimen had always been capable of superhuman feats, but slaughtering innocents was not one the scientist had expected.
It seems Sephiroth will forever be a fascinating case study.
The BO-9 landed on the shelf 100 feet from the reactor building. As Hojo pulled the hatch open, the anticipated stench of Marco stung his nostrils, but it was the accompanying aroma of rotting flesh that piqued his interest. Shielding his eyes from the swirling dust, he followed the helicopter's searchlight as it circled the mountain summit. To his left, the rotating beam passed over the corpse of an emerald dragon, its scales picked apart by scavengers. Staring at the remains of the magnificent beast, the irony of the situation was not lost on him. Sephiroth had been deployed to protect Nibelheim from dragonfire, but it was ultimately he who had reduced the town to ashes. A squad of security division infantrymen waited for them by the entrance, standing to attention as Tsung strode forwards, his short black ponytail whipping in the gusts. The Turk led the rest into the facility, pistol drawn as a security measure. A hollow gesture, Hojo observed. Either the threat had been eliminated, or they were heading into a trap set by the planet's deadliest soldier. A handgun would be of scant use in both scenarios. It had been months since the professor was last here, and absence of personnel brought an obvious and distinct emptiness. He hated the place. It was an inefficient memento of bygone decades that served to indulge the president's sentimentality. The reactor's only significant quality was its isolation. Somewhere the more controversial elements of the soldier program could be tested beyond the meddling of those cretins who would stifle scientific progress in the name of ethics. Emerging at the core of the installation, the party was greeted by a female Turk. Her pretty little face was tainted by bruising on her left cheek, but she appeared otherwise uninjured. Hojo paid no heed to her summarized account of events, instead allowing his focus to wander to the streaks of blood on the walkway below. The bodies of two males lay amid the mess. One was a local, his moustached features pallid and lifeless. The other was a Shinra grunt, with spiked blonde hair, curled in the fetal position, impaled on the Masamune.
That's peculiar.
Descending the ladders to the lower level, Hojo vaguely registered Tsung's calls, electing rather to inspect the boy on the grid. He was unextraordinary, much to the scientist's frustration, but his fingers were inches away from the handle of a discarded greatsword. He recognized the gilded marking on its hilt, but as he bent over for a closer look, a blinking red light on the control terminal caught Hojo's eye.
There's been a breach in the Genova preservation tank.
Abandoning his examination, he proceeded along the walkway and into the condensation chamber. Most of the machinoid pods had retained full function, he noted, but there was irreversible damage to at least two. Without sustaining the delicate chemical balance of the crystallized Marco, the subjects would have already expired. At best, he may be able to salvage some of the test data. It was, however, a trivial matter by comparison. Climbing the steps to Genova's sanctum, he paused momentarily as he spied the unconscious soldier strewn against one of the capsules. It was a first class who often volunteered in his monster training experiments, the kid who had always followed Angeal around. Tutting at how pathetic he now seemed, Hojo moved on, and was curious to discover cloven fragments of the security door at the height of the stairs, as well as another bloodstain. Shuffling through the portal, he was met by the icy wall of chilled air, causing the lenses of his spectacles to fog. Muttering under his breath, he removed them to wipe the condensation away, and, as he placed the glasses back on his nose, he lifted his gaze to a startling sight. Where the chrome statuette of the winged angel should have loomed, only its foundation and fried wires remained. The tank itself was partially drained of fluid, its entire top section sliced cleanly off. The headless figure of the specimen lingered in perfect stasis, though the multitude of cables that ran from its torso drifted clumsily all about. Genova's usual majesty was intact. Sephiroth had been sure to show his mother the utmost respect. But the decapitation was a mildly irritating blemish.
Why did he take the head?
Hojo's instinct as a scientist urged him to act quickly to save the specimen from contamination and avoid any rapid decay of its exposed millennia-old flesh. He knew the truth, though. Possibly the only one who did. There would be no contamination. There would be no decomposition. The preservatives were just for show, a misdirection he had deliberately allowed to persist. Genova, in fact, was not a Cetran remnant at all, but an unclassified life form, a slumbering vessel of extraterrestrial cells. The soldier program was built on a lie. Hojo had learned as much the day he shot and killed his fugitive mentor, Professor Ghast, having hunted him to the permafrost region where the organism was first unearthed. The old fool's lover, Ifalna, was a genuine survivor of the ancients, and together they had birthed a baby girl. Aerith was the child's name, and threats on her life were all the incentive Ifalna ever required to share her ancestral knowledge on the calamity from the skies. A virus, she had described the alien, capable of infecting the minds and memories of its prey. Those attacked go mad and become monsters. It cannot be destroyed. Its body will always seek to reunify. Countless Setra gave their lives to defeat the calamity, and the few that resisted the virus were able to seal it within the crater. The planet continues to watch the being you call Genova, waiting on the day it will reawaken. The revelation had forced Hojo to reassess the merits of the Genova project. For years, a careful blend of rigorous physical and mental training, targeted Marco infusions, and an injection of Genova's cells had been the secret to the success of soldier candidates. To remove any of those components would be to degrade their unique assets, a compromise President Shinra was unwilling to make. With the young Sephiroth showing such potential at the time, Hojo had all the evidence he needed to prove his research a triumph. Project Genova S was his finest achievement. Hollander's failure as part of Project Genova G to produce human hybrids that mimicked the organism's genetic structure was down to his utilization of diluted Genova cells. Hojo, on the other hand, had injected pure cells into the unborn fetus of Dr. Lucretia. She shared his passion for science, his desires, and offered herself and her child to Garst's experiment. In the end, Lucretia bore a perfect specimen, the soldier prototype. His name was Sephiroth. He was Hojo's son. "And now he's gone," the professor said aloud, another wave of fury washing over him as he peered into the Marco pit from the edge of the platform. Frozen fractures in the piping and the misalignment of steel frames indicated a clash of some sort, but it made no difference. He would seal this tomb forever. His son's legacy would endure. "What would Sephiroth have thought if he found out I was his father?" Hojo mused, smirking sardonically. "Constantly looking down on me like that." As incredible as he was, he could not see the bigger picture. He had the mentality of a soldier, stupid and obstinate. Such a waste. Of the contributors to Project Genova S, only Hojo remained now. The burden of the experiments had taken its toll on beautiful, beautiful Lucretia, and she killed herself soon after Sephiroth's birth, abandoning him and their research. Garst, to his credit, lasted several more years, but even he grew weak. Morality began to interfere with his study of Sephiroth, and he absconded from his duties. But the company could not permit someone with Garst's sensitive knowledge to go out freely into the world. There were always consequences. The senior scientists at Shinra Incorporated shared that in common with the Turks. Death was the sole way to retire. Gazing up at Genova again, a thought suddenly crossed Hojo's mind. The theory of the Calamity's regenerative abilities, particularly its drive to reunite, had been of interest to him since his sessions with Afalna all those years ago. Amid the chaos of what had happened that night on Mount Nebel, Sephiroth had at least presented him with an opportunity to trial an old hypothesis of his.
"Without its head, would the alien awaken? Would the will to be whole again reactivate its dormant cells?"
The possibilities excited Hojo, but the incident at Nibelheim meant the Marco reactor was no longer a viable storage facility for the specimen. He would relocate the organism to Shinra headquarters in Midgar, using the pretense of preservation as his smokescreen for monitoring its behavior. But it would be unwise to base his research on a single missing appendage. The cells of Genova required further distribution, and he would need additional test subjects.
Who better than the surviving villagers? The president is unlikely to object if it ensures their silence. They will be most useful in verifying my hypothesis.
Professor? Tsung shouted to him from the doorway, his voice echoing grimly about the metal panels on the walls of the hollow. Sighing, Hojo glared over his shoulder, frustrated to have had his train of burgeoning plans derailed.
What?
We're ready to transport the wounded, reported the Turk. I wondered if you might wish to examine them before your colleagues arrive.
Yes, yes, very well, he grumbled, reluctant to concede Sung's promising sense of forethought. Any word from Veld?
Not yet, Sung replied, his quick glance away betraying his confident tone.
I see,
snorted Hojo, enjoying his discomfort. You have no clue where the chief is, do you? Sung said nothing for a second, choosing not to rise to the bait. He's on assignment.
In Wutai, if my conjecture is not mistaken, investigating the rogue source of Avalanche's funding. But there's no reason for me to divulge that little secret.
And how are the preparations coming along at the village? Hojo changed the subject. The Turks have commenced their search operation as we speak. The military are battling the fire.
I expect results by sunrise. You'll have much work to do tomorrow.
Sir, regarding the president's orders... Tsung hesitated.
Do you really think it's necessary to go this far? Ah, you're still so young, Hojo chuckled, taunting him. Your opinion does not matter. Just hurry up with your duties in Niflheim.
Tsung clenched his jaw, then bowed to excuse himself, taking a final moment to observe the decimated preservation tank and its disfigured contents. Hojo clasped his hands at the tail of his spine and hobbled back to the condensation chamber, trudging down the steps. The infantrymen and attending medic had arranged the three males onto stretchers by the entrance to the room. The blonde grunt and the soldier were being carried to his right, the squad awaiting the professor's orders. Their injuries appeared to have been treated by basic surgery and curative potions, and Sephiroth's katana had been removed from the boy. To his left, the cadaver of the third man was set on the floor, covered by a sheet, spots of blood already seeping through the material. Reaching the bottom of the staircase, he joined Tsung and stood over the dark-haired first class, assessing the minute details of his numerous lacerations, deflated lung, and ribs protruding from his skin.
This was the work of the Masamune, he concluded. He's to be taken to the basement laboratory at Shinra Manor, Hojo instructed the infantrymen, clicking his fingers and gesturing to the exit.
Yes, sir, the privates responded in unison. As they started towards the passageway, the second group made to follow.
Wait,
he hissed at them, irritated by their stupidity. Wandering over to the squad, he lowered his spectacles to inspect the blonde team.
So, this is the one who finished Sephiroth off,
He was a scrawny kid. His features had turned a ghostly shade of pale. Without extensive medical intervention, it was likely the sword wound would be fatal. The soldiers had made a mess of patching him up, but they had at least stopped the bleeding temporarily. Reviewing the tears in his uniform and the lean muscles beneath, Hojo was fascinated by the prospect he had somehow managed to wield a weapon the size of himself. He had witnessed a phenomenon in the past where soldier candidates had excelled when exposed to high degrees of Mako. But it was rare, and almost impossible for someone who had not undergone the infusion process. The scientist could not quite put his finger on it, but there may have been something unusual about the boy after all.
"What is it?" asked Sung, his tillock prominent amid his frown.
"Intriguing, most intriguing,"
Hojo answered with a gleeful grin. It was strange to think he would again be working at the mansion, but the notion of facing the challenges ahead, and a chance to finally prove his reunion theory, filled him with excitement. Thanks in part to this anonymous teenager.
"He'll make a fine sample for my new experiment."